Good morning and welcome, welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us. You can call, you can text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Dr. Laura Hanks coming up at 11:33 for public service announcement. If you ever have a question for the doctor, you can email it to Jane Says, J-A-N-E-S-A-Y-S, Jane Says at civicmedia.us, and we will make sure the doctor gets your email. Been talking about the DNC going on this week. Every night, by the way, across Civic Media, 6 to 7 p.m., we are having special coverage anchored by Terry Bell. We have Maggie Dawn, Todd Alba, Earl Ingram, and many, many more. Every night, 6 to 7 p.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network. I highly encourage you to check that out.
I would say we have the best people.
All the best people?
All of them. All of them.
Some pretty good people last night.
Yeah.
Of course, the DNC happening at the United Center in Chicago, but Vice President Kamala Harris and Minnesota Governor Tim Walz held a coinciding rally at the Fiserv Forum in downtown Milwaukee, which was pretty cool.
Yeah.
I'm going to sneeze.
There you go. Well, between the two rallies, Chicago and Milwaukee, gazonite, 30,000 people attended.
That's crazy.
That's amazing.
It really is amazing. We have a clip from Vice President Harris speaking last night at Fiserv Forum. Calvin, let's play that clip, please.
She said the name.
And hello to everyone joining us from exciting Chicago. The delegates at the Democratic National Convention, well, they just completed their roll call. And they have nominated Coach Walz and me to be the next Vice President and President of the United States of America.
The place was rocking.
Yeah.
And I thank everyone there and here for believing in what we can do together. We are so honored to be your nominees. This is a people-powered campaign, and together we will chart a new way forward. A future for freedom, opportunity of optimism and faith. So to everyone in Chicago and across America, thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Vice President Kamala Harris last night at Fiserv Forum in conjunction with the DNC happening in Chicago. And we've been getting some great photos from people who were there last night. You can always text those in. We'd love to see them at 855-752-4842. There was a different rally yesterday.
More of a gathering.
It was a considerably smaller.
Yeah.
Gathering, I would say, in Michigan.
An intimate event.
Very intimate event. Tens and tens.
Dozen of people showed up.
Were there. Donald Trump, the former president, speaking at his rally yesterday in Michigan. See if you can catch the different sense of tone between the vice president and the former president's speech. Calvin, let's play that clip.
It's just insane. But you can't walk across the street to get a loaf of bread. You get shot. You get mugged, you get raped, you get whatever it may be. And you've seen it, and I've seen it. And it's time for a change. We have to bring back our cities. We have these cities that are great cities where people are afraid to live in them. And they have policies. It's just insane.
He does not sound well.
He sounds very tired.
He does.
Yeah. And
slightly sedated.
I mean, with the barrage of Sleepy Joe comments and the hundreds of articles written by various newspapers about Joe Biden's age and cognitive ability and all those things, it's easy to use this moment to say, you know, oh, Donald Trump isn't all there. And, you know, I'm like, oh. But when I say I'm worried about him, I honestly mean it. Like, He's a 78-year-old man running for president.
Who is not terribly healthy. He doesn't exercise.
No. Golfing doesn't count. And he is surrounded by sycophants, yes men, and acolytes who absolutely will never say no to him. So everything he thinks and says, everything he thinks, he says. Everything he says, they say yes. And that sort of
loop
behavior and loop can create mental health problems as well. So, I mean, honestly, like, I know there are people listening right now who disagree with us and love Trump and want to vote for him, and that's fine. Do your thing, Jelly Bean. But you can't for a moment in your heart of hearts, when you're alone and not talking to anyone else, think to yourself, this doesn't sound good. You cannot tell me that this is the man for you. He needs to be a 70-year-old man and just go play golf every day.
Well, and he was also supposed to do an interview with a local paper after that rally yesterday in Michigan, again, saying Americans can't even walk across the street to get a loaf of bread. You get shot, you get mugged, you get raped, you get whatever it may be. The amount of crime we have is unbelievable. He was supposed to do this interview with this Michigan outlet, and then when the reporter started asking about specific statistics, they canceled it and said he didn't have time.
Yep. I mean, that's...
Big article in today's Washington Post about crime. Trump referred to data from the Bureau of Justice Statistics indicating a 43% increase in crime from 2020 to 2022. That ended 2 years ago. So this data is from 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And since then, crime numbers are down.
And
they just are. And I know people don't want to hear that, but it's true.
But they designed this narrative that every place that gives us information is crooked, corrupt, lying. You can't trust anyone. So where did these wacky crime statistics come from? The FBI.
Yeah.
They work real hard to make sure the information's correct. Because that information has impact on communities and funding and
definitely
for all these things that they need. And so to say like a crime is terrible and to make such a gross statement, I don't even want to repeat it, just as far as like the people get shot and people get, you know, assaulted. We've seen it. You've seen. No, fortunately, I haven't. But to just say it so flippantly, like it happens all the time. I mean, it's a Tuesday. That means it's got to be happening right now because anywhere USA, especially the cities. No, it's not. It's a lie.
There are problems in some cities.
There are problems.
There are problems along the border. No yes. one is saying everything is perfect. Everything is ducky. We have no issues. No.
Yeah.
But this dystopian, crime-ridden hellhole that MAGA describes is not the reality that I'm experiencing.
I mean, I've lived in Waukesha City. I lived in Milwaukee City, Racine City. I live in Kenosha City. I've lived in nothing but cities and like very close suburbs my entire life. And in the 46 years I've been on this earth, I haven't witnessed the post-apocalyptic landscape. Let me rephrase that. Post-apocalyptic hellscape that they try to make us believe. And it's disingenuous and it's old and tired and boring. You don't want to get fact-checked because why? Because you're lying? You don't want to do interviews because you can't provide the
facts?
The references? Why? Because you're lying.
Or embellishing or, you know, just picking something out of the air, trying to make it a thing. And it's not.
Yeah, it's not.
J.D. Vance was also in Wisconsin yesterday. Oh, stopped Mother in Kenosha.
Glory. My city. Mother Glory, my city.
He stopped at Tenuta's.
For those who don't know, Tenuta's is one of the greatest American delis ever. It's an Italian deli where you can buy anything you want. And I literally mean that. It's within arm's reach. It's a very small place, a little claustrophobic, always very busy, but it's awesome. We are big fans of their pasta. He walks in there, and there's a picture of him. This was reported by a gentleman. I don't have his name in front of me right now, but he is a reporter. He was on the ground when... in the room, took a picture of J.D. Vance and apparently said to either a proprietor or one of the higher ups there, what food here don't you like? We'll buy it and feed it to the journalists on the plane. Now, Jane, you had some concern about this and I don't, you know, this quote, we don't, you know, it was reported by a reporter.
Right. It's reported by a source.
And the thing is if it's not 100% true, I'll retract. I'm fine with that. I'll say, okay, he didn't say that. The problem is that it's not outside of his brand to say something like that. It's not surprising. If Tim Walz said that, I'd be like, that's, I know you thought that was funny, but that's not funny. Because what it is it's the continuing narrative of being hostile towards journalists, the press, reporters, anybody who is showing the truth in real time, you have a problem with. Your guy has spent the past 9 years standing on podiums pointing at the people who have been giving him near free media for nearly a decade and saying they're the enemy. So the fact that he would say something like that, even if it was, you know, even if it wasn't true, I'd be like, well, it does sound like something he would say. So, and also, dude, you're at a local business. Just be cool.
Well, what business owner on earth is going to say, this is something that no one likes, buy this?
Yeah, exactly.
That seems like a bad marketing plan.
You ever have that uncomfortable laugh when someone you know that you have to like be respectful and, you know, like a higher up boss, you're like, they say something, you're like, yeah.
We have a break.
Reese Gorman is his name. I just want to get
Reese Gorman. Thank
Reese Gorman is the name of the person who posted this.
When we return, we're going to have a quick little all the best people update from one of the people who was at the Republican National Convention.
Oh, he.
And then bad news, childless, loud laughing cat ladies. There's now something we're not allowed to eat. Faux news says so. All the details are coming up. This is Matt Nair on air. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Just don't know what else to do about
it.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can join us 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Dr. Laura Hanks coming up right after the 11:30 news to take all your questions, answer your health concerns. Right now, though, we are still talking about the DNC.
Mm-hmm.
The dual rallies that were going on last night in Milwaukee at Fiserv and then in Chicago at the United Center. And we're kind of comparing some of the speakers who appeared at the RNC to the DNC. Of course, one of the speakers at the RNC, who famously ripped his shirt off behind the podium to announce he's voting for Donald Trump, Hulk Hogan.
WWE Hall of Famer, along with Donald Trump.
Yep. Hulk Hogan recently captured. This was at a bar, I believe.
Yeah.
Hulk Hogan, all the best people. Let's take a listen, Calvin, to this clip from Hulk Hogan being a little loose.
You want to get crazy? You want me to throw more beers out? You want me to body slam somebody? You want me to body slam Kamala Harris? Do you want me to body slam Kamala Harris? Do you want me to drop the leg on Kamala? Is Kamala a chameleon? Is she Indian? Okay, I like it. Ow! I'm gonna get heat for that one, brother. That was not me, that was the beers talking.
Oh, that was the beers talking.
That was
just the beers talking.
That's always the excuse. And
I was just kidding. Hulk Hogan, after this happened after the RNC, obviously.
Yeah.
This is within the last couple of days, somebody caught this and posted it.
But Hulk Hogan is a saved man. He's a Christian now.
Oh, is he?
Oh, yes, he is. He loves God. He's got God tattoos now, and he used to wear a cross, but now he always wears a cross. He's saved. Also, don't by any chance look up Hulk Hogan racism. Just don't do that.
Don't do that.
Because this clip will not be the first thing that pops up, most likely.
I'm sure.
I grew up on Hulk Hogan. Eat your vitamins, say your prayers. We didn't know about steroids. I was 8. He was someone you looked up to. He was someone that you wanted to be around. He was a cool guy, and he had cool friends, and you wanted to wrestle with them. To see him become such a piece of trash, and I'll call him that because that's what he is. He sounds like Ted Nugent in 2008 when he was making violent claims against Hillary Clinton.
Yes.
But yet people are like, oh, it's just a joke. It's not a joke. And you know that because he said, I'm going to catch a lot of heat for that. He didn't care about a joke. I love jokes. He cared about the reaction. And now, guess what? He's got it.
Now he's got some attention.
Yeah.
There you go. Well done. All right. Class is in session.
What's up?
Childless, loud laughing cat ladies.
Okay.
We have a new rule.
Do I have to leave?
No, you can stay.
Okay.
New rules for childless cat ladies from Faux News. They're not happy, shockingly. They're not happy that Kamala Harris says that she eats Doritos. She likes nacho cheese Doritos.
And who doesn't?
Apparently, they take big issue with this. Calvin, let's play that clip from Faux News.
Yeah. So that's what people.
I learned two things. One, she calls her husband Dougie, and also that will be the first second gentleman's name. Also, I don't believe she eats these. I don't believe that women over a certain age are eating these. I don't.
Wow.
I can't afford to.
Oh, okay. The blonde bobblehead on Faux News can't afford to buy a bag of nacho Doritos. I believe you, honey.
You can't afford a bag of... I'll buy you some.
You should renegotiate your contract if that's true.
And if you check the record, I make seriously less money than her.
And you can afford a bag of nacho Doritos?
Well, I'm a man, baby.
Oh, well.
I'm a man.
So I'm 64. Apparently, yep. I can no longer eat. Is it just nacho Doritos or is it all Doritos?
Calvin, you're the young person.
You're the
here.
Young person.
Well, I'm not sure. My 54-year-old mother eats chips of all kinds with the dog every night when she gets home from work.
Sounds like you're snack. Selling your mom out right now, Calvin. It's just like
I kind of am. She needs to stop feeding the dogs chips.
Oh, Mama B, son just called you out.
Oh man, what were we talking about? That was hilarious.
Well,
but yeah, I mean.
No, Kamala Harris, this is all you got, people? She's lying about eating Doritos? They don't like this about her. They don't like that about her. They don't like that she cooks.
Well, and you know what? Honestly, though, Jane, let's take, okay, we got that story. Fine. They complain about everything that they do. They can look both ways on the street and they can be like, you're not an American. You got to walk with not looking at all and be brave like an American. Anything they do will be criticized. Like, you know, they wanted to make fun of her for calling her husband Dougie. If he was my husband, I'd call him Dougie. I'd refer to him as the first Doug.
I like the first Doug.
Yes, he is our first Doug. But let's pull back the lens to the macro view. They're saying all this ridiculous garbage because they have nothing. They can't complain about their policies because they don't understand them enough to really whine about
into them. Yeah.
Yeah, and they don't have researchers in that vein. So what are they to do? Pick and pick and pick at all this surfacey stuff and hope that it hits the wall and sticks. And yeah, I'm sure there are Fox News devotees who watch and go, yeah, women over a certain age don't eat Doritos. They only eat Mucinex covered chips. Blah, blah, blah.
Oh, they make those?
Okay. But that is the overall problem for them. Is that there's nothing to talk about that's substantive, so they're going for
ludicrousness,
and they're sounding just as unhinged
yeah.
as the guy they want people to vote for.
Kevin, let's play that clip about how Faux News is not happy that Kamala Harris knows how to cook.
Right, that would be a huge glass ceiling shatterer. But I don't want to hear about a White House, you know, president cooking like that, and especially a woman. Like, I don't cook, and I proudly wear that badge. I am not domesticated whatsoever, and my kids are pretty much, you know, fending for themselves.
Look, Cheryl, what killed me was one of the lines where it specifically said how she impressed Mindy Kaling with her onion dicing skills. And look, I'm not trying to shame anyone whatsoever, but the whole point is, why are they trying to make a chef out of someone that just has a couple basic skills in the kitchen? And certainly, why are they trying to do that with someone who's supposed to be my commander in chief?
I don't care if the president of the United States is a good cook or not. And I think this is pandering, obviously, to women. Julie, I'm with you. My sister is a gourmet cook. I got nothing. So thank you very much. No. I don't really care if she can cook or not. That doesn't connect to me as a woman.
It'd be great, certainly, she should have, woman in the White House. She should have stopped at I got nothing.
Yeah.
She should have just stopped at I got nothing and left it at that.
You are the one pandering. You were the one pandering.
They are the ones pandering. Absolutely. And by the way, meet me outside the station. Doritos for everybody, ladies.
Woo!
Bring your cats. Bring your dogs.
Cool ranch, macho cheese, double cheesy spiciness.
News is coming up next. And then public service announcement with Dr. Laura Hanks. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Mock, Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can join us, you can call, you can text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Elon continues to actively ruin pretty much on a daily basis. She joins us every Wednesday at this time for public service announcement. Dr. Laura Hanks is here. Good morning, Dr. Hanks. How you doing?
Good morning. Doing okay. I've got a little bit of a scratchy throat, so sorry in advance.
That's not a problem. Not a problem. Have you been able to watch any of the DNC while it's been going on this week?
I've definitely been watching the clips. I haven't been able to sit down and watch it because, you know, we're dealing with sickness at the house.
It seems like you always are dealing with sickness at the house.
That's what happens when you're
used to it.
But it's you like have little kids.
Well. Yeah.
They're just little.
No, I've seen some really interesting clips, and it sounds like the energy there is just bonkers and sounds really exciting. I was listening to an interview with the Illinois governor. He sounds like a trip and a half.
Yep.
And he's really jazzed and excited, and I can't wait to watch. I know the Obama spoke last night, but I want to kind of like sit down and watch the whole thing.
It's absolutely worth it.
Very powerful.
Yeah, it really is worth it. They both gave such great speeches. There were some very impactful speakers on Monday night as well when they were talking about people's experience with trying to get abortion health care and some really painful stories. But I think it's important that we don't let this issue go away, because Senator Lindsey Graham over the weekend said this election is not going to be about abortion. This is not about abortion. People don't care about abortion. No one cares. It's not that big of a thing. Everything is fine. It's back to the states. Everybody's happy. That's not true.
And on behalf of white men everywhere, I'm so sorry for him. He shouldn't be talking right now.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so unfortunate. And I mean, again, you get so used to doing what you do every day, and this is part of my job. And so I sometimes have to step back and remember that, like, I hear these stories every day and it's heartbreaking, and I, you know, want to get the word out. But then there's people like Lindsey Graham and they're, you know, that don't hear it and think, and even Trump has said, you know, everything's going great. It went back to the states. I don't think it's really an issue anymore. But it's really easy to say that when you're, you know, eating cheeseburgers at Mar-a-Lago every day. Like, you just don't see the reality of what's happening.
Well, and I still think, Dr. Hanks, that there is misinformation, especially among white male lawmakers, that an ectopic pregnancy can somehow be removed and then re-implanted in the uterus and everything will be just dandy. That's not how it works.
No. No, there's a lot. There's been a lot of medical advances, but that is not one of them. It's not possible to. I mean, the whole point of a pregnancy is that it's very sticky. It's gonna attach to. You know, it needs to attach to the uterus in order to get blood supply and the nutrients to grow. And if it doesn't attach to the uterus, it's gonna attach to something else. So there is no way with the science and technology that we have to detach a pregnancy and for it to remain viable, for it to be attached somewhere else. That's just impossible at this day and time. And I mean, anyone that I don't know if that's anything that's going to be figured out in this lifetime, quite honestly.
Right. But for right now, that is just not feasible. If a woman has an ectopic pregnancy, either she has to have it taken care of or she could die. Correct.
Exactly. Exactly. So it's, but you know, the majority of these, over 90%, are going to be in the fallopian tubes, and the fallopian tubes just cannot expand enough to accommodate a pregnancy. And so they will, once they rupture, will cause massive bleeding and can kill the mother.
We do have a couple of clips that from some of the speakers that were there on Monday night at the DNC. This first one that we have is from Hedley Duval. She's told a story about having an abortion when she was 12. Calvin.
I was raped by my stepfather after years of sexual abuse. At age 12, I took my first pregnancy test, and it was positive. That was the first time I was ever told, you have options. I can't imagine not having a choice. But today, that's the reality for many women and girls across the country because of Donald Trump's abortion bans.
12 years old, you're in seventh grade.
You're still a child, you know? And I mean, like, it's just the whole story is awful. You know, the domestic abuse, sexual abuse, is also obviously a huge problem, not just in our country, but around the world. And I mean, can't we focus our energy there? Like, can't we be trying to fix that instead of taking away access for patients that are in this horrible situation? I just, like, it makes no sense to me where they want to, like, focus their attention,
right?
You know, this is and by them focusing their attention in the wrong places, these are the outcomes. And
yeah, it's just, instead of, I don't know, having workshops for men on why you don't do that, why that's
right.
Not good, why it's unhealthy, what a healthy relationship is. I mean, there's so many things that could be addressed,
yeah,
on the front end. That, like you said, Dr. Hanks, that's never where the focus is. It just isn't. Never.
Yeah.
I mean, coming from the point of view of a man, we'd have to start from a very young age. And let's just talk about basics of sex education in schooling, which is, I mean, I might as well just say I want to give everyone free abortions. That would set people on fire saying you want sex education in schools. Teaching kids about contraception, teaching kids about consent. I mean, my God, when I see videos about parents losing their mind, like, oh, we teaching our kids about consent. That's my job. Okay. Are you doing it then?
Right.
Yeah. Are you actually doing it?
Or are you doing it with a wink and a nod? It's like, yeah, son, no, it's, we men have a lot of work to do. And I don't want to say it's impossible, but it's not just about educating them on the topics. It's about really reforming their minds and how they see the whole picture, women, men, relationships, the consequences, because, you know, they think there are people out there and they're very religiously minded where you, doctor and Jane and other people we've talked to, ectopic pregnancies, it's not viable. But in their mind, they think, but you never know. There could be a chance. And what would happen if? And you have to say, well, I can't argue that. Because in your mind, it's done. And so yeah. I don't even know how to, with my guy friends who are cool, it's hard to have this conversation because you feel like you're a killjoy.
I'm sure. We have another clip from one of the speakers from Monday night at the DNC. This is Kate Cox, who actually sued for abortion access in Texas. I think a lot of us have heard this story, but let's listen to that clip, Kelvin.
I'm Kate Cox, and I love being a mom. I have two beautiful children, and my husband and I have always wanted a third. But when I got pregnant, doctors told us our baby would never survive. And if I didn't get an abortion, it would put a future pregnancy at risk. But Trump didn't care. And because of his abortion bans, I had to flee my home. There's nothing pro-family about abortion bans. There's nothing pro-life about letting women suffer and even die.
That was Kate Cox. That actually
today,
was... Oh, sorry.
Because I found a way to access abortion care, I am pregnant again. Woo! Thank you. And my baby is due in January, just in time to see Kamala Harris sworn in as President of the United States.
Kate Cox, that was actually during the roll call last night at the DNC at the United Center in Chicago. What happy news. Yeah. For her and her husband and her family. That's just great news. But sorry, Lindsey Graham, this election is going to be about abortion. It just is.
Yeah. They don't want it to be because they know it's a loser for them.
Exactly. That's what they're trying to do. They know, I mean, all the polls show that like they lose on this topic, and they're going to try to, you know, turn it towards anything else. But we just have to keep talking about it. And I'm so proud, you know, like, I think that even Democrats in the past have been a little shy to talk about it. And it's incredibly frustrating that it took overturning Roe v. Wade. Yeah. Like, coming into medicine, like, I remember when Trump was elected and we were all just, you know, crying on the labor floor and saying like Roe v. Wade is going to be overturned. And some people are like, you guys are being real dramatic. Like, come on, it's not that bad. And this is what happens. I mean, this is the reality now that we live in. We thought it would never happen. And here we are, and we need to keep talking about it. And we need to keep telling these stories. And it's awful that it's happening to these patients, but it's happening. And, you know, we need to get out there and get everyone to vote and pay attention to the issue.
Well, and there's certainly more states now that are putting constitutional amendments on their ballots regarding abortion.
Absolutely.
Which is good. Yeah. And not in states that you would necessarily expect, like with states like Kansas.
Kansas. That's what the only state. Kansas.
Right.
And that was another one where they thought, oh, yeah, no problem. The people are going to speak. And they lost. And they protect. There is hope out there. And Jane, you have a story you've told, and I want you to tell it as many times as you want about the notion of people saying, oh, it's not a big deal. It's nothing. It's Roe v. Wade. I didn't hear about it. Or it does. What's the big deal?
I worked with someone when that leak came down, and I told him that I wanted to do a series of stories on what this was going to mean on the ground for women and doctors and nurses on the ground. Practical things, yeah. You know, what if I come in with an ectopic pregnancy, what will that mean if I can't get abortion care? And my male colleague said, well, I'm not seeing anything about that on my Twitter feed. Well, right. Because you're a man. I don't know. Maybe that's not your top of mind thing.
Yeah.
And you don't have a lot of people in your very sports heavy world that aren't talking about this. I said, but trust me, I think 51% of the population is going to be somewhat annoyed that their bodily autonomy is being taken away.
Oh, but that's such a great opportunity for you to then educate, right? Like you had that opportunity. Like I would flip that, like while, you know, it's like a facepalm moment, let's say like, well, let's talk about that. Like what is on your Twitter feed? Why do you think you're not seeing it? These are some really good resources that you could follow. What if you followed Planned Parenthood? What if you... you know, followed us.
Right.
Like, but here's some really good resources. And that's like a lot of my job is like, you know, Google's a scary place, but it's like there is some really good stuff on the internet. Like Guttmacher Institute is a really hard name to spell, I'll give you that. But it has excellent abortion information, and it's up-to-date information, state by state, what's going on, what you know, what's been happening. This was even before Roe v. Wade. You know, so I think that like when we have those moments, you just have to like take a deep sigh, shake it off, and get back out there. You know, like that's our jobs, right? To educate and to make people more aware of what is actually happening and how it's affecting us and our lives, even if they don't feel it's directly affecting. I mean, even for example, when my dad was on, right? Like he tried to say for a minute that it didn't affect him. I was like, no, Dad.
It does.
He's like, come back to me. Like, you have told me stories where this affected you. He's like, oh yeah, that's right. You know, like, and he knows that, like, you know, we've had lots of talks about this, and he's very, you know, supportive of us and what we do. So just bringing it back to that conversation.
So apparently my calling him a knuckle dragging, mouth breathing Neanderthal was not the correct way to handle that. Point taken. Point taken, Dr. Hicks. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to Matt Nair on air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board. Coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can join us. Call or text, same number, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. She joins us every Wednesday at this time for a public cervix announcement. Dr. Laura Hanks is here. Dr. Hanks, I want to talk a little bit before we wrap up the show about the importance of self-care. And what that means and how bad stress is for us and therefore why it is important for us to, I don't know, sometimes get away a little bit and relax.
Vacate.
As some say. Yes. Oh. You must have your mic. There we go.
Sorry. Really interestingly, interesting or not, there have been tons of studies on physician burnout specifically over the last couple of years. And it gets brought up at all the meetings, and kind of my favorite joke to make is that I'm burned out of talking about burnout. Cause we talk about it a lot. But jokes aside, it is something very important. Over 50% of physicians are burned out in our country, and that can lead to obviously poor outcomes. You know, patients not being satisfied, kind of having bad bedside manner, can, you know, and even worse, lead to depression and suicide in the physician community. So that's physician, you know, obviously that's kind of like my area.
Sure.
But I think in general, it is a bigger problem, especially around the time of COVID. We all kind of were feeling burned out of just being stuck in our houses and dealing with this, you know, international pandemic. So I think the other thing we this kind of like idea of like burnout with the counter idea of wellness really came about in my residency. And so they would have these like wellness times, but we used to, again, joke, call it like forced wellness.
forced
because,
health.
Right. It would be things like, we're going to do yoga, but like, wellness is individualized. You can't just tell everyone to go journal and yoga because that's not how everyone gets, you know,
their release or their relief.
Their relief. Yeah. Yeah. Some people do, and it's great, but you can't just tell a whole group of residents, we're going to do a yoga class and you're going to be well and not burned out. That's ridiculous. You know, like, that's kind of like how they started all this. But I did find a really good paper that looked at, like, because I was thinking about what you said about going on vacation, which I think is a huge part to kind of step away from work and, like, turn off your work phones and emails and stuff like that. I'm horrible at that. I still check my emails. Yeah, it's like something I'm working on is, like, giving myself boundaries. But in terms of, like, work, this one paper I found talked about giving yourself, like, duty out, like being like, I'm going to work in these hours and then I'm going to be on break and like turn my phone off. Having like productive targets. So like saying, I want to get through this, but if I'm not done at 5 o'clock, then I'm like done for the day and that's okay. Other things was, like kind of going off of that, like not setting work meetings for 7 p.m. When you're home with your family. Like right now, that's something that's like, I'm really frustrated with. I have like a couple meetings that have been like set for 7 p.m. because no one else can meet during the day. And as doctors, we're just expected to be on all the time.
Sure.
And so like advocating for yourself to say like, I've got a family, that's a bedtime. That's like 2 hours a day I get to see my kids.
Yeah.
So advocating for yourself to really stand up and make those, set those boundaries, I think is really important.
I think that you took the words out of my mouth, doctor. I was going to say, yeah, you have to advocate for yourself because we do live in, and I will blame social media to a point about this, which is showing these people who push this narrative of you need to work hard and you need to work harder all the time. And if you're off, someone else is vying for your job and your bosses are taking notice. And then you are afraid to truly get away and you're afraid to turn off your work phone, turn off your email, because then you're not, I mean, if you're worried on your vacation, you're not vacationing.
Right.
And
right.
So,
yeah.
And the problem is how do you stand up to your boss or your bosses and say, no, I'm leaving at 5 o'clock. That is the contract I have with this company, says I work from X to Y. It's Y. I'm leaving now, and you can't guilt me into staying.
Well, and I do think that things have changed a lot since the 80s when I first started in radio, where it was a point of pride. No matter how sick you were, you went in and you pulled your air shift, and you, I mean, that's just what you did. And and now we just had a company meeting, and it was, we want you to take your PTO.
Yeah.
People, take your darn PTO. You've earned it. It's good for you. You need it.
You're sick. Stay home. You're going to make me sick.
Well, and now actually when COVID finally, you're sick. Stay home. Yeah. Don't get the rest of us sick.
Yeah. And I think that's especially pronounced in the physician world. My dad and I kind of, did we talk about this too? I know I always bring up my dad. We're obviously like talk a lot.
Because he's awesome.
Thank you. I think so too. Don't tell him I said it. But he used to say, early physician, 50% of your time was spent doing research, 50% was clinical, and 50% was in the OR. Like, that's what you were expected to do.
Yeah.
And like, if you had a family, you better hope you had a stay-at-home wife to raise them because you weren't going to be around.
Yeah.
And like, I was super lucky in that my dad made, he worked his butt off, but damn it, if he wasn't at every single one of my basketball games. My college, I played basketball in college. He came to every single game my senior year.
Wow, that's amazing. That's
made
amazing.
A point to do that.
That's
hugely
fantastic.
Important.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely.
Love it.
Well, I am taking a little time off.
Is that why we were talking about this?
That is kind of why we were talking about this.
Yay,
surprise.
Dang.
Did I not tell you that?
Who's hosting the show?
Calvin, did I not tell you guys?
Calvin's hosting the show?
Greg and Calvin will be here holding things down beautifully.
Oh, God.
I want to take just a little bit of a breath before the final weeks in the run-up to the November election.
Yeah.
Still a lot of work to do, my friends. People are feeling good. That's wonderful. There's a lot of excitement. We're the underdogs. Don't forget it. Work like that. Organize like that.
Vote.
Vote.
Like
vote,
that.
Vote. Vote. Vote like that. Dr. Hanks.
Vote like your uterus depends on it.
Because it does.
You too, Greg.
Yeah.
You heard me.
Dr. Hanks, thank you so very much.
My uterus.
For joining us. Thank you, Greg and Calvin and all of our engineers. Without you guys, nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and for texting and for listening. It means the world. I hope you find some joy today and you have the chance to share it. News is next, followed by Todd Alba right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Take care.